Welcome. This is William Evans here, and you are listening to another Living World Conversation. Our guest today is Brooke Levan, co-founder of Sustainable Settings and the author of Confessions of a Reluctant Land Whisperer. Welcome, Brooke.
Hey, Will. Good to see you.
Why do you call yourself a reluctant land whisperer?
Well, the reluctance is, I think when we're getting into things, we trust. We've learned, I guess, that we need to take charge of our experience. And
was that a reluctant realization?
That came about. A lot of things come about. I mean, you know, first we think we're going to save the planet, and then we're going to save the whales and the spotted owl, you know, or whatever, or even the Colorado River. But what we really need to do is save ourselves first. And so when we get going, we kind of have enough trust to move into a project or our work, and we don't always really know where we're going. And so along the way of building soil, getting back in relationship with our food and water and, you know, and our community and other things, we weren't looking to become more sensitive or to become more whatever you want to call that. I don't know what that is, but we started to communicate on different levels, and not just the physical, but the etheric soul and spirit levels. And so we have what we discovered reluctantly, we kind of have become sensitive in particular ways. And everybody has their own ways that they go beyond the obvious material realism that we've all been conditioned to think is the only way.
And so as a result, you came to the awareness, the realization, that we are a collection of resonating vibratory frequencies.
Correct.
And the earth and the plants and the trees and creatures are a living diversity of more resonating vibratory frequencies.
Absolutely. We say they're talking to us, and they are.
And if you listen, what happens?
You eventually, you know, it's like I teach dowsing. Actually, we have a course this weekend, and it's really 101. But we find out first that we can get, when we stay in inquiry, this is really important, not to bring a lot of assumptions to our dialogue and say, you know, say, who are you? Hi, how are you? Build our relationships. We start with getting yeses and nos, just yes and no. And then we get and then we get words, and then we get sentences, and pretty soon we have dialogue. And so, and you hear and you see images and colors and other things as part of the communication.
So when a creature, human or a plant, emits a sound, it causes the surrounding air molecules to vibrate, initiating sound waves moving through the air as a pressure wave.
Correct. I agree.
And so sound is basically a tone or frequency. Scientifically, we express it as hertz, the number of vibrations in 1 second of time.
Yeah, and
we're living bioantennas.
Mm-hmm.
And music or sounds like those in nature can help heal us.
All of that, yeah. It brings us into being on many levels. Our being isn't just physical, but it is. We're still physical things. But I like to say that forces, or you're talking about sound, every creation myth starts with, first there was sound, the orbs moving through space create a vibration, and then then there was the Word, and then there was light. And the Word said, let there be light, and there was light, and then there was form. And so that's how we came to be manifest in our current physical form here. But we're walking, resonating beings, and so is everything on the planet, all the life.
So kindly tell us the story of the school children and your pear tree in that island of wild plants at Sustainable Settings.
Okay, yeah, I mean, we're experimenting with tone and sound and song and air as a way to potentize or stir our relationships with life. And so in biodynamics, we have these physical substances. We call them the preparations. And so there's chamomile and dandelion and horn silicon, horn manure, and all that. And those are homeopathic treatments. But there's a substance there, which is we imbue with, you know, alchemically with certain intentions. So we knew that, and we knew that worked. And we knew that amplified relationships and or fertility, yield, flavor, and all these things. And so we wanted to amplify them. And so we started with playing with tone, like singing bowl or a particular, like you said, a shift of hertz, or singing the planets. A-E-I-O. Ooh, we just went through the planets. So there's the ancients understood that the resonating human cavitation and of song and through our larynx produces a particular tone, and that you can correspond to Mercury, Venus, Earth.
Yeah,
moon.
But we're here on Earth, and we've got these school children.
Oh yeah, I'm getting there.
Tree.
So in other words, we're an experiment out there, and so we're trying these things all the time, and so we put a little twist on each of our experiments. And this one, we happen to have the Waldorf third and fourth grade, I believe, maybe fifth and sixth, I forget. A few years ago, and we had planted a pear tree in this guild. You could call it a permaculture living edible landscape example. And we call it the island in the middle of the driveway ranch area, homestead. And so that was 2 or 3 years old, and it was hanging in there. It was doing okay, and it had been blossoming. But they say fruit tree takes 5 years anyway to really become and bear fruit. Anyway, so it's third year maybe. And so here we, and the kids, especially at Waldorf, but other kids too, classes will break into song, you know, when they're working, and they'll come and volunteer on the ranch, and we teach them. But it's interesting, when they get into their own space, they naturally kind of will go to song. And so I was like, well, we're working on this tone idea. Can you all circle around this little pear tree? Four or five years old. And do you have a song? Can you sing one of your songs? And so they're two or three people deep. You know, the class is enough. So it's a chorus all around this tree, which is, you know, maybe 12 feet tall, and that, you know, not that tall. And they begin to sing, and then we all, the other Sustainable Settings crew, interns and staff, you know, they join in, and the teachers, and so the kids teach us the song, but they're driving it, and it's harmonic, wonderful, you know, what I don't remember the tune, but it's something they really knew, and they were singing through their hearts, you know, they knew it, and it had meaning. They understood. It wasn't just gibberish. There was a message in it, and so we all felt that. And what we're doing is measuring in different ways. We're not just measuring scientific lab data. We're measuring flavor, for instance, or we're measuring with quality, other qualities that are felt or observed phenomenon. And so in this case, we all felt that, and it was joy. And it was a ceremony, it was a celebration, and it was a gesture, and we were unifying, in a way, ourselves with this tree and its surrounding arena, not just a thing. It's a living arena. And so it was felt. And we all pulled away from that, and we left with that form of data in our beings.
And that resonance.
Oh, yeah. And so this was maybe in the fall, I forget.
And to state the obvious, the pear tree felt the resonance.
Well, the next year, it cooked. I have never seen or since, with that intention, it produced more pear than you could imagine for that size of a tree. It was amazing. And so that actually was interesting in time, too, because it wasn't until the following season that it really, you know, bared fruit. Is that right? Yeah. And so these relationships do last, but I like to say, too, if we can put something in resonance, we can also ignore it and it can fall out of resonance. And so, I mean, how many relationships do you have that do well on ignore? Not very many, right? Love, hate, they're almost stronger than ignore.
That's a beautiful story. So you started to get into this, and I'll pick it up as a thread here. Silica, quartz, is everywhere in the earth and plants. Mm. And when sound stimulates silica in the plant, a piezoelectric effect happens, making a tiny voltage release in the roots.
Yes. That is using earth cognition science language, but yes. Yeah, I don't talk like that.
We're talking about the physical aspect.
I get it, but this is science. Science has terminology that is unique.
So music can trigger the ATP, the adenosine triphosphate, in plants and stimulate growth.
Yeah, I would. Yes, I guess I would say it differently, but yeah, sure.
So the pressure of the sound waves had a physical effect.
Well, that's really skeletal. That's robbing that whole experience.
We're gonna get
of a lot of
to
levels
the other
of
dimensions.
Okay, because
we're taking a baby step right now.
Okay,
and acknowledging that
there's an effect. Yes, sounds mechanical, but yeah, we'll start there.
So Enzo Nostati from Italy,
yep,
told me a similar story that on his land were fruit trees brought from a higher elevation, and they never yielded any fruit.
Mm.
Until a woman came in and sang to each tree, and then the harvest was abundant.
Yes. They were not in relationship yet. Her song helped them come into relationship with the arena. This is what people don't understand. You go to the nursery, you buy a plant, and you put it out there. Well, that's a level, a very base level of relationship. But there's many others, and we can tune and heighten those levels. See?
Enzo demonstrates that consciousness and intention can be used to heal and benefit our environment. Can you help us understand that?
In a short time, I could, but
yeah, we don't have a whole day here, but
yeah. So we are in the field, wave, particle, quantum, right? We are in that, but we are of it, right? And we are it also. So we can operate, and we have more freedom than we think, in the field once we give ourselves permission. And so this is what anything from Buddhism, Hinduism, or any of the traditions would tell you, is that there are initiations. There are seven levels. There are four levels. Jung spoke of the four empaths of the empath, Eve, Helen, Mary, and then Sophia, and for instance. And so these are, throughout time, these are all different expressions of climbing into a, or doing the work and having a, you know, some kind of practice to become more and more open. And in this process, we actually, we're co-creators. We are resonating bodies. We are instruments. And when we allow ourselves to accept the different resonances around us, the music of the spheres or the music or whatever, the tone and frequencies, and we move them through us with harmony and balance and, you know, purity of heart, and we direct it to another individual. It could be a person, could be a carrot, could be an oak tree. It's felt, and a relationship, and we re-trigger, we recharge the dynamic in our surrounding arena.
I've heard you say because of lack of consciousness, things get out of whack.
Yeah.
And when you visit a property, you often find things out of tune.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the all these creation stories say the fall. We left the garden. And when we did that, we took things out of resonance. Basically, we domesticated animals and plants, and we took them with us, and then, but we didn't really take keep the full responsibility to keep them in relationship, and that's when things fell apart. And so I know Wendell Berry says, you know, at one point, I think he said, we can't, and I don't agree, put things back together that we took apart. And I disagree. I think it's our job to put things back together, which means back in relationship.
And part of intention, particularly for Enzo, and I think for you as well, is what does this plant need? What does this animal need? What does this soil need? So you're sensitive to not yourself as a focus, but right. Your relationships around you.
Yeah. It's not me. It's not you. It's through us. And so this is an ego thing we got to watch when we're moving through the stages of becoming or becoming more sensitive or reluctantly becoming more in touch. We have to keep it that we are just conduits, but practice and work and you begin to see how you can each, you know, tune. It does, you know, people, I always say don't, when I say it's not me, it's not you, it does matter where you're at. If you're not, if you say, I'm going to get sick, I'm going to get sick, I'm going to get sick, guess what? You're going to get sick. If you say I'm steeped in gladness and I'm happy and in love and I work in love with all of my relationships with life, you know, then you will be opening a door in relationships that's different than if I hate it and I hate what I'm doing. I'm an agrarian, you know, I'm out in the field or I'm driving my tractor and it's a bitch, you know, or I can't, you know, it's like, oh God, I got to go out there and I got to go do this. Well, you're projecting, believe it or not, you know, and so when you go out with love, so just, I mean, let's keep it simple, and joy, and how are you, pasture? How are you, microbes, fungi, protozoa? I understand enough about you and recognize you. Let's work together to create the ultimate yield of hay or graze and meat and health and vitality and the milk, you know, right? So, yeah.
This is KDNK, and you're listening to A Living World Conversation with Brooke LeVan from Sustainable Settings. When John Kimmy came to Carbondale, he told us about being with the Hopi people. He was staying with Grandfather David, And he awakened one day in the heat of the day, and he walked down off the mesa on a trail he'd never walked before.
Right.
And into an arroyo where he'd never been. And the cornfields were brown and scorched, shriveled, until he came to one that was green and vibrant.
Yeah.
And he stopped. And it was a good-sized field, but he could hear an old man in there singing. And he listened and he paid attention, and he could see him singing to every plant. And then he walked back up, and Grandfather David wanted to know where he'd been and what he'd done. And John told him, and David said, "Oh, yeah, that's Titus. He's the only one who still sings to the corn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we sing to our children to encourage them, and Titus sings to each plant. Brooke, what do you think's going on there?"
Well, like I said, with the pear tree, and there's many examples. In our consulting, we have seen or felt or have data, so to speak, evidence that when we are instruments, sorry, we're conduits. And so when we have a cavity, and when we fill our cavity, when we inhale and we imbue it with meaning or intention, and then give it back out in song or poetry or word or just breath, blowing. I mean, the Greek Orthodox priest, they blow, and the blow is a blessing. Now, of course, during this pandemic COVID business, you know, people probably frowned on blowing things, but get over it. And so, in other words, we have many ways that we can amplify relationships, and we do it with prayer, blessing, song, and pure-heartedness.
And that amplification is interesting because it can also mean going from an individual to a collective community.
Oh.
And yeah. One of the most powerful examples of that is the indigenous people of the Columbia Basin sustained an annual salmon run of 10 to 16 million fish for 10,000 years. So they cooperatively were able to do this.
So individually we can do this, but also collective prayer or collective intelligence and working in groups is way more potent. So we get to a point sometimes in the work where I'm not confident I have enough or I can do enough. And so I'll gather others and say, this is big. This is bigger work. Can we do this together? And so we will understand the problem, diagnose the imbalance, and then we'll set to developing the anatomy of the inquiry or the blessing that's specific. And then we'll load our intention, our beings, our bodies, and and then evoke or pray or sing or whatever. You know, when I work with, for instance, the LDS or the Mormons or indigenous, I don't go to make them, you know, Hindu or Buddhist or Christian. And we work. This is what's wonderful about this work. It's kind of ethnographic in a way because I'm learning a ton. But they, you know, go to the Lakotas and we work with them, and they have the cardinal directions, and they also have the colors. And so we use their metaphor, or the LDS have their metaphor, or whatever. And so, but we're still enhancing and utilizing the gift. I mean, we're amazing beings.
We were amazing beings, and it's amazing what a continuity of amazing beings can accomplish.
Oh, yeah.
I once asked an indigenous family about this practice of sustaining an abundant salmon run for the children's children. And they explained to me, that's why we hold our ancestors in such high esteem for what they were able to do and what they gave us.
Right. Yeah, and so in these acts, in these ceremonies, we create an arena collectively. And in a sense, we leave what time and space, conventional material realist time and space. And so this is what Turner talked about, and this is what Van Gennep brought up, you know, the rite of passage. And Turner broke it down to, well, what are the stages of ritual? And one of them is first separation from the confusion. So isolation, you know, and then there's transformation. And then there's reincorporation. And this is in every tradition. So we must come back. We must reincorporate. Otherwise, we're caught up in transformation, in lateral drift, and we don't manifest it. And so that's always stuck with me. Those, you know, it's sometimes nice to have a reductionist around to help you break things down, but I'm always leery a little bit that I like to merge the sciences back to the humanities.
Synthesis.
Yeah. Poetry, metaphor, song, theater, ceremony. We need that to learn, to fully learn.
Evan Pritchard, a Mi'kmaq elder, explains not everyone thinks of music as a form of wisdom.
Mm.
But vibration is a key to unlocking the universe.
Yeah.
Sing your heart and transform the world.
Right on. Right on. Yeah, so we're late in the game of discovering that as a amplification. Yeah.
Thank you, Brooke.
Yeah. Been fun.
Yeah, it has been great.
Yeah.
This is KDNK, and you've been listening to a Living World Conversation with Brooke Levan about the benefits music and sound can have in healing. Thank you for listening.
Make holy because we can.